2019 Summit Q&A replay, Hire Experienced or Inexperienced with Dina Eisenberg, Ali Katz, and Carol Williams, episode 178. Are you ready to make your law firm a profit-generating machine that will free up your time and skyrocket your impact? With more than two decades of business growth experience and having proven that you can be successful while prioritizing your family and your impact, introducing the Profit with Law podcast. I am your host, the creator of the Firm Differentiator 10X Effect, Moshe Amsel. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Profit with Law podcast. I'm your host, Moshe Amsel, and today we continue our daily live Q&A replay from the 2019 Law Firm Growth Summit. And today's question comes from an attorney, Tad Davis, I believe is his name, Tad Davis. And Tad asked a question. This was on the day where we talked about team development and leadership. And his question was related to hiring somebody. And I believe it was his first hire, and he wanted to know whether to hire somebody experienced or inexperienced, because in one of the sessions, one of the speakers had indicated to bring somebody on with experience, and it sparked a really great discussion around hiring somebody and being very intentional with what you want them to do and what need they're going to fill when you bring them on. So you definitely want to take a listen. Our panelists for this discussion are Dina Eisenberg, Ali Katz, and Carol Williams, and really great information provided in this discussion. Now, if you have not yet registered for the Law Firm Growth Summit 2021, it's coming up in just a couple of days, February 9th to the 11th. You want to make sure to grab your free ticket right now at lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. We are taking this entire summit experience to a new level. We will have another live Q&A session, kind of like the ones that we're doing here with the replays, and that's going to happen on day two on February 10th at night at 8 p.m. Eastern. So you want to make sure that you join us for that session, as well as all the other amazing events that we have scheduled for you throughout the conference. So go to lawfirmgrowthsummit.com, grab your free ticket, and join us at this event. I'm just going to take a moment and hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll jump into the Q&A. Let me share an exciting tool that I recently came across that is a game changer for law firms that bill hourly or by the project, otherwise known as flat fee billing. The 2020 Legal Trends Report published by Clio rates how important various items are in a client choosing your firm. You may be surprised to know that the third most important decision factor for someone choosing a lawyer is the ability to pay with a payment plan. The challenge that law firm owners face is the risk of a client not making good on that payment plan. Most attorneys don't offer payment plans because of that. The problem is now solved with LawFunder. LawFunder allows you to easily add a payment option to all your client invoices and retainer replenishment requests that does not require credit checks, applications, or any other complex process. The client's able to use their existing credit cards, allowing them to earn points and miles, access credit card specials on interest rates, and any other tools they use to manage their cash. When I saw this tool, I was blown away. Most importantly, it removes all the risk from the law firm and makes an easy and painless process to the payment process. So if you want to check off the box on one of the top factors in new client decisions, if you want to decrease your accounts receivable and get paid immediately, LawFunder is the solution. Go to lawfunder.com. That's lawfundar.com/profitwithlaw to learn more.
I am a true solo, I've been at it for a little while, and I find myself on nights like this hanging out at the office and drafting up stuff and trying to catch up on everything. And I watched Dina's presentation about hiring a staff and trying to grow the firm that way. So my question was kind of related to something that we talked about yesterday, which was about systems and things like that. I can't remember who it was, but they said that, you know, one of your first hires, if your first hire is an experienced person, they can help you with stuff that you don't know. And so you can kind of build out systems that are better practices. So my question was, what's the best way to approach this? Is it to operate in a kind of a short time view where I'm looking for like a virtual paralegal or somebody to kind of help me with my overflow so I can focus on the things that I really want to do as opposed to the things that sometimes I get stuck doing as a true solo? Or is it to really gear up to hire someone that can really come in and help me structure my practice the way I want it to be practiced, the way I want it to go?
Great question, Tad. I love that question because I get it often, like which comes first, the chicken or the egg? And when you're just starting out in your practice, it really feels like it has to be one or the other. But in some ways, I think that it's possible for it to be both. And I'll explain a little bit more about why I think that. When you hire somebody who is really experienced, what you get is a shortcut. It means that you will not have to spend your time figuring out systems and the next step and what's the best way to do it. That experienced paralegal is going to bring their expertise and their experience with different platforms and methods and resources to you. So it's worth it to stretch a little bit, to spend a little bit more, to hire that more experienced paralegal. I guess the average pay is $25 an hour. So if you stretch for someone at 35 and they really came in and created all your systems for you, that would be a better use of your funds. And I want to make sure that you know that it doesn't have to be that you're bringing on someone full time right out the gate. You could actually slow pace this and bring in someone who's really experienced for 5 to 10 hours a week and have them, you know, the sole focus being setting up your systems and getting prepared. Which is the clerical work that probably you shouldn't be doing. You can hire a virtual assistant who's going to be at a much lower rate on other platforms like Upwork. I'm not a big fan of Fiverr. I really was in the past, but their quality has gone down over the years and they've changed their system such that it's hard to understand clearly who's going to do a good job. That's not the case on Upwork. It really has, still has a good quality freelancer. And so I use that one all the time for those tasks that I don't really need to do, I don't really need to learn, or I don't like to do. So if you have those kinds of tasks, find a virtual assistant and have them do those. Those are like marketing things. And then hire the paralegal to help you set up your system and do the substantive work because that's billable. Folks don't often recognize the fact that your paralegal is like the second best asset after you because she can be billed, or he can be billed at a near market rate. So when you bring on that paralegal, you're actually bringing on a second revenue stream. Is that helpful?
That is helpful. So is it something that we should look at, working with like an agency or a website, or just throw an ad in the newspaper that nobody will read? Like what?
Yeah, how to do that. Yeah. That's the second question people are like, well, where do I find this brilliant person? And so I'm just going to back you up one step. You know, as lawyers, we're like, go get it. We want to get things done right away once we finally make a decision. And so it's natural to want to get to, okay, well, where do I find this person? But before you actually get to that step, you have to decide, what do I want this person to be? Who do I need them to be? So you really want to think about what is your ideal best employee? What does that person look like? What is your experience with them? What qualities do they have? And just as importantly, like, what qualities do you not want? Like, what's non-negotiable for you? Like, if you do that, boom, I would never want to have you around. Thinking through that process means that you're going to get to the hiring process in a much more informed position. You're going to be able to say no quicker to folks who are not a good fit, and you'll be able to identify folks who are a better fit for you much quicker, and which, you know, reduces the time you're going to spend on hiring and makes onboarding a much easier process because they're already somewhat aligned. Like, you're looking for folks who are aligned with your vision and your values and your ethics. and you're compatible with. That's something lawyers forget all the time. It's like, do you got the skill set? We'll take you. It's, I'm going to spend 15 hours a day with you. I kind of need to like you. We need to get along. You know, that's kind of important. So look for that in addition to all the other skill set things that you like. So a good example is one of my clients really needs somebody to be methodical. And so we started to think about, well, how can we see that in the world? How can we see that in somebody else? And we thought about, okay, TV shows. You know, are there certain TV shows that if you're a more methodical person, you might enjoy those shows? And we started to brainstorm what those were. And those started to be the beacons that you would look for. Like, not that it's a be-all, end-all defining indicator, but it gives you something to go on and something to talk about.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense.
Good. I mean, it's a process to hire somebody, and it's a big process when it's your first time. So don't feel rushed. Also, don't feel like you can't make decisions that are personal to you. So I had someone tell me the other day that one of the things that they loved most about doing the work together was that they got the permission to have things exactly the way they wanted. Like to say, I really have to work with somebody who has a keen sense of fairness, who's a critical thinker, somebody who will figure it out, someone who could stand up to me. And they didn't have the sense that they could ask for those things and get them. And I want to tell you and everybody else, you can ask for those things because it's your practice. If those are the things that you need to do, or have in somebody else to do your best work, you should look for those things and require them. So don't feel like, how can I judge? Because we all heard that message from our moms. Don't judge other people, right? We don't, you know, that's something we don't do. In this case, we kind of need to judge a little bit.
Makes sense.
Okay, so Tad, I'd like to jump in real quick and just tell you that on my podcast, Profit with Law, I have an episode number 34, and it's titled, What's Your Hiring Process? I encourage you to go and check that out and listen to it after we're done here tonight. I go through my hiring process here in-house at Profit with Law. And it's quite detailed and quite lengthy and significantly lengthier than probably any hiring process that or most hiring processes that you see in the marketplace. And one of the first things that I'd like to encourage you to overcome is any stigma or beliefs that you're bringing to the table from what you've experienced in the past. There's so many people who do one interview and think that they have to make a decision from that one interview whether to hire that person. And it takes 8 to 12 touch points for a client to decide to use you. Why are we not taking 8 to 12 touch points with a potential candidate before hiring them into our firm? So that's something I want to make sure that you think about as you go and embark on this process. The second thing is don't forget about Craigslist. If you're looking for somebody who is, you know, new to the job market, or there's a lot of millennials on there who worked in corporate and then quit and have been doing nothing because they were so jaded by their experience there. And now they're coming back into the marketplace and looking for something that is going to be more exciting for them, more flexible for them, and somewhere where they're enjoying working. And there's actually great talent available there. You know, and Craigslist, I think, charges like $25 to post a job ad in there. Our best candidates came from Craigslist, you know, so I think that you should think about, you know, those places that most people are not fishing at for you to find talent that you can get inexpensively to get somebody started. Like for what you need initially taken off your plate, you don't need somebody with experience. You need somebody with drive, somebody who's going to buy into what you're trying to do at your firm and is going to then help you fill those gaps and take things off your plate, handle your email for you, handle the phone calls, handle, you know, you don't need somebody with a legal background for that. You need somebody who's eager and willing to be trained. And I think that you definitely can hit a home run there. I'd like to get, I think Dina might want to add to that. And then I'm sure Allie and Carol have things to add as well.
Yeah, I think we can have a debate about that. Because sure. I think that it takes if you're inexperienced as a business owner, a law firm practice owner, and inexperienced as a leader of other people. That's a lot to contend with at the same time as you're practicing law and training a new person. And so I like to err on the side of caution and say, I'd rather just have someone a little bit more experienced who can find their own way. I think when you hire inexperienced and inexpensive labor, you get what you pay for. You're going to spend more time training. You're going to spend more time correcting errors. And ultimately, they will cost more money than if you'd actually just invested in someone with a little more experience. Just my two cents.
My experience with that was my very first team member was a kindergarten teacher. And she didn't know anything about business or the practice of law. I didn't know anything either. she ended up staying with me my whole practice career, and in fact still works with my financial management company that I still work with today. Her name is Susan. She was my first client services director. And I can say that every single system that I built in my practice, I built because Susan needed it. Because she didn't know how to do anything on her own. And she would make all these mistakes, and I would get so frustrated. And I remembered one time I went into her office, and I had been studying marketing for a while at that point. And my marketing mentor said, make sure you're always following up with everybody who hears you speak. I didn't know that before he said that. And we had always been collecting these worksheets every time I spoke. So I was like, oh, great. I have all these worksheets from when I spoke with people's information. Now we could follow up. And I went to Susan and I said, Susan, remember all those worksheets we've been gathering, you know, all these months that I've been speaking? Let's pull them out. And she said, worksheets? And I said, yeah, you know, the ones we gathered at all the presentations I gave. She said, well, I called them all and then I threw them away. And it was like one of those heartbreaking moments of like, oh no, that's like hundreds of leads, which I didn't even know about leads back then. But you know, then I learned that's hundreds of leads lost because we didn't have a system for that. And of course, then we did, you know, create a system. This is back before we had like, you know, MailChimp or Infusionsoft or any of the databases for automated follow-up. Then, you know, we did create a system for collecting the worksheets, putting them in a database, having consistent follow-up. So I guess I would say, Tad, you can hire somebody with no experience and build the systems. The one thing I want you to be careful of if you're going to hire a paralegal to create you systems is that that paralegal is creating you systems for doing legal work, not necessarily for serving your clients and creating a client experience, definitely not for sales or marketing. They don't know how to do that. So getting legal work done, great, but for sales and marketing, not great. And then your question number two, I just wanted to give you a resource because you asked about an annual goal plan so that you're building the firm that you want rather than chasing a random number. I gave out a resource on my session today. And if you didn't hear my session today, or you don't want to listen to the whole thing, if you go to moneymapforlawyers.com, moneymapforlawyers.com, and Christelle, there will be actually some tangible things that you can work with there around money, moneymapforlawyers.com. This is a program that I created. It's called the Money Map to Freedom that I charge $2,000 for everybody, not just lawyers. And I realized I needed to make one that was specific to lawyers and give it to lawyers for free. And so it's at moneymapforlawyers.com. It will support you to put together that annual goal plan that you're talking about, where you're looking at what is the life you want to have? What's it going to cost? How much time do you actually have to create that? And then you're going to be able to structure your fees and your time to actually be able to meet the life that you want in the time that you have. So that's the answer for number two, moneymapforlawyers.com.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate that.
And I'll just throw in another resource. So if you go to outsourceeasier.com, you will find my employee avatar worksheet, and it walks you through the steps of creating that yardstick, I like to call it, so that you know when candidates measure up to your expectations and your needs. And you're going to find that at outsourceeasier.com. I'll just drop the link in the chat box.
Awesome.
Yeah, Tad, I also think it's really important before you start to even look for someone, really sit down and figure out what you want this person to do. Don't worry about what you call them, whether they're an associate, a paralegal, an assistant, a secretary. The words that the labeling doesn't matter. Figure out what it is in your firm that you need to be done, that you think you shouldn't be doing, or that you don't want to do, or that you think someone else could do better. And that for me has really helped when I've thought about, oh, I'm so swamped, I need to bring someone on. And more often than not in the past, it's just been because I personally have been very unproductive and I have fallen down the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter rabbit hole for hours at a clip. And I'm up late trying to get work done, but I'm oh so busy, right? And so that falls on me. And I'm not saying that that's what's happening with you, but when I sat down and really wrote out what I needed someone to do and why I was feeling so stressed out, that was on me. And then over time it shifted in that I was able to say, oh, well, I am being productive. And now I'm at this tipping point where I just don't have enough hours in the day to get everything done. And so then I started looking at, okay, what am I really good at? What don't I like to do? What shouldn't I be doing? And I think most importantly, what am I good at? What do I love? But I still shouldn't be doing it. That's the first thing I looked at giving to someone else, because I love looking at marketing. I love building an avatar. I love posting on Instagram, but you know what? That for me is just, that's not really where I need to be spending my time given my hourly rate. Like that just doesn't make sense, but I love doing it. I mean, I could sit on Instagram all day, you know? So I think really before you even start to figure out how to hire, figure out what you need done and what things are going to be most helpful to take off your plate. So what's your biggest value add to your business? Is it you keeping control of the billing? Is it you keeping control of the marketing? You know, is it, you know, do you need your time freed up so that you can go out and do networking? You know, really kind of figure out what you need before you start looking to bring in someone else. Because when you bring in that person, you know, like Dina and Alexis have said, they've got to have really clear marching orders. And if their marching orders are completely different every single day, or they're supposed to read your mind, you're setting yourself up for failure, you know, and because I've been there. So it's just, you know, like I remember when I had this amazing, amazing intern. She read my mind. She was perfect. And I went to my business coach when her, because she was getting credit, so it was just first semester. And I went to my business coach when her semester was over and I said, okay, I found the unicorn. I will probably never find her again. Now, how do I figure out how to work with the second intern? Because I don't want to hold the second intern to these unrealistic unicorn-like standards that I had for the first intern. And the first thing he told me to do was write it down. Write down exactly what I wanted my intern to do, exactly what my expectations were. And then when I brought that intern on board, to have that conversation. And so I did. And it was not the most pleasant experience, quite frankly, but I know that I went into it with very clear directives, and that when work wasn't getting done the way I needed it to be done, even at an intern level, I was able to say, here are the 5 things, here are the 10 things that we talked about on day one. These things are not happening, versus all of those things being in my head and then someone having to guess and then that person feeling blindsided, because I've been on the end of feeling blindsided. So I would say just really, really hone down and write down, not just in your head, but write it down what you need done. And then you can call that position whatever. So that's how I do it.
Best advice of the night.
Yes. Mic drop right there. Perfect. Carol, thank you for going back to the basics, because I almost didn't think about covering that, and I appreciate you highlighting it. And Tad, I'm gonna do something for you. I have my favorite author is Michael Hyatt, and he has a book called Free to Focus. And in Free to Focus, he outlines exactly how to do what Carol just told you to do. And he basically divides what you do into 4 quadrants. And he gives you exercises on how to map out those quadrants. He also has a book that I've been giving out throughout the week called Your World-Class Assistant, which goes through a different process of identifying what an assistant can do for you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to gift you both of those books. Tina will send you an email and we'll ship that out to you. I'd like you to read them and then come back to me and let me know if they were helpful for what you're working on. They're not difficult reads, but I think that they will take you through the exact process you need to follow to really hone in and identify what it is that you need to get off your plate.
Awesome. Thank you, Moshe. Can I ask you one quick follow-up question to something you said?
Sure.
If you're hiring off of Craigslist, or let's say I have overflow work and I just need to get some off my plate, you wouldn't have an 8-point touch system to try to bring someone in to do like quick overflow work. Would that be faster or would that be just the same process?
So I'll be honest. I mean, it depends on, if you're looking to fill in some hours, I wouldn't look on Craigslist. I would go to a professional VA company who has trained people who are trained to jump in and do some work and jump back out, and pay the premium fee for that, because you're getting somebody who's ready to roll up their sleeves and do the work for you. If you're looking for somebody part-time, that's different than jump in, jump out, then yes, I would still do that. And as a matter of fact, the last position I was looking to fill a part-time position leading up to the summit, specifically to be working on the summit. And I went through that exact process. And one of the candidates, in my initial call with them, I tell them, this is the process we're going to go through. Are you willing to go through that process with me? And one of them was like, I'm not doing that for a part-time job. And I said, well, you're not the one for the job. And that was the end of that. Saved us all a lot of time. You know, so just because you're marrying somebody and only spending 4 hours a day with them instead of 8 hours a day with them doesn't mean that you should like them less. Doesn't mean that they should like you less, you know? So if you're looking for a long-term hire, there's plenty of people out there who need part-time work. They have other things in their lives that's preventing them from being a full-time employee. They are very happy to take a part-time position and they could be with you for a long time to come. And one of the hangups that I've had in the past is, what if I want them to go full-time? Like, what if I hire them and I love them and now I'm ready for that full-time position? Am I, you know, do I need to check in the beginning to make sure they're willing to go full-time? And my answer to you is cross that bridge when you get there. People's situations change. You never know what's going to happen. And if they're not able to go full-time, you'll hire another part-timer or a full-timer and you'll find the right person, even if they're working out great. You'll figure it all out. Like, don't get in your own way at this juncture. Just figure out what you need and then find that person.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate everything. This has been very helpful.
Awesome. Have you been enjoying the show? We sure hope so. To make sure you never miss an episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast player app. Next week, we will be back with more valuable resources and ideas on how to break the mold and take your law firm to the next level.